Today's stirring story is the first climax in John's Gospel. And it's the seventh of the actions of Jesus that are referred to not as miracles, but as signs throughout John's Gospel. They are done with a particular purpose, to engender faith in those who witness them and those who hear about them. And they're accompanied also with particular teachings about the identity of Jesus himself. Just an example, last week we heard of the healing of the man born blind. That was the sixth sign, very related to one of the revelations about Jesus, that when he said that he is the light of the world. So the whole of John's Gospel is built around these seven signs, and they all lead up to the hour of Jesus that he continually refers to and is preparing for, and preparing his followers for. So as we enter today's scene, we realize that the hour is drawing ever closer. Each sign is bringing about greater faith, but on the other hand, each sign brings about a greater hatred of Jesus because of his radical teachings in saying that he has been sent by the Father. We notice, it makes us uncomfortable, that things are about to reach their boiling point. In the passage that we just heard, notice that Jesus had left from Judea, which was the region surrounding Jerusalem. And he did that because the threat to his life was so great. They had been trying to kill him. Now when word was sent from Bethany to that Lazarus, the one whom Jesus loved, was sick, his disciples are afraid that going back would mean the end. See, Bethany was almost visible from the temple in Jerusalem. It's just about 2 miles away from the city. So those who were seeking to put Jesus to death would certainly hear that he had returned to the vicinity. The whole tone of the gospel changes here at this point. Jesus hears this news, and after a 2-day delay, he decides to go to Lazarus, who has died. And what also happens here is that Thomas turns to his brother apostles and says, "Well, let us also go to die with him." You can imagine that journey, a somber, fearful, bewildered procession of Jesus with his disciples as they cross the Jordan towards Jerusalem. And we know well what happens in this story. We remember well Martha and Mary and how their character shows forth once again in the midst of this moment of grief and confusion and pain. What often draws us into the heart of this scene is how Jesus reacts to Lazarus' death. Remember, at first he delayed and did nothing. And when he arrives, he seems to want to be a teacher to Martha. She comes with this stammering hope that there will be a resurrection in some time in the future. And it doesn't seem really to us that Jesus is being particularly compassionate to her in the midst of her pain and grief. But it's when Mary, her sister, comes, and the crowd comes with her, and they're all weeping, that's when Jesus, the gospel tells us, becomes perturbed and deeply troubled. And he says, "Where have you laid him?" He said, "Come and see." And the gospel says that Jesus wept. Why does he weep? I think this is a moment in all the Gospels that definitely tugs on our hearts. We want to understand. And I think there's 3 interpretations out there of what's going on here. The first is that this is a mere sadness, a sadness that manifests Jesus' humanity. As truly human, he has true compassion. He feels what we feel. So that shows that he's entered into our human condition. So Jesus here is like the servant of the Lord from the prophet Isaiah, who is a man, Isaiah said, who bore our griefs and carries our sorrows. And it's true, it's beautiful. And it's very helpful for us when we sometimes feel that God is distant from us or distant from our concerns. However, No one in John's time would have even doubted the fact that Jesus had human emotions like us. So if we remain on this reading, on this level, we're missing more of what John is trying to show us in this moment. So the second interpretation is that Jesus represents God, who weeps at the state of fallen humanity. It was sin, remember, that brought death into the world. And Lazarus, this beloved friend of Jesus, so Jesus feels the weight of that pain of separation that death causes between loved ones. So it is, God loved His creation, and it pains and saddens Him that His creation is separated from Him because of sin. As a bishop in the early church said, God wept because those who could be immortal, the devil made mortal. This too invites us to a beautiful and deep reflection upon Jesus' weeping. There's a third proposition, and that is that Jesus is weeping because, as the passage itself tells us, He's perturbed. He's troubled. Other words we could use would be agitated, even angry. Why is that? Jesus had been so calm. He knew what had happened to Lazarus. He knew that it would manifest God's glory. But now all of a sudden, He's frustrated. Perhaps that is because He sees that the people do not understand. They have not come to the type of faith that He would desire that they have. They believe, they've seen the signs and believed, like Martha. They believe that He has power among the living, power which has no limits. As they say, if He had been there, Lazarus would not have died. They believe in His power over nature. But they do not see that He could be something more than a miracle worker. They do not see that He could be the very giver of life, the author of life itself, the source of life, with power even over death. And perhaps Jesus weeps too because their lack of faith is an indicator of what will soon happen to Him. He will die this death. The people will put to death the author of life. Jesus weeps because the gift He can give, the gift that He so desires to give, the gift of eternal life through faith in Him, will be rejected by many. Now as the drama unfolds, after Jesus is deeply troubled and perturbed, see that Jesus goes with the crowd to the tomb. You can imagine the confusion here. What is He up to? We thought He came to console Martha and Mary. Why is He acting so strangely? Then He commands the people to remove the stone. How much they would have resisted that awkward command. You can imagine their faces, how perplexed they were. You can imagine the crowd as they covered their noses to protect against the stench of decay that they anticipated would come forth. The stone is rolled back. And Jesus prays with boldness to His Father in heaven. And then He commands the man who had been dead for 4 days, Lazarus, come out. How long was it? How long was it before a man bound hand and foot with burial cloths, his face all wrapped up, how long was it before he stumbled out of the tomb? How astonished were the people. Now Jesus' response is this simple and straightforward instruction. Don't just stand there. Untie him and let him go. And then he leaves. He withdraws to a town near the desert, the gospel says. So what is this story about? Is it about the miracle, the seventh and greatest miracle? Yes. Is it about the promise of eternal life? Absolutely. But look deeper into Jesus' sadness. This story is a story of the lack of faith. The story is a story of the failure to come out of darkness. The next time Jesus will return to Bethany will be very soon, and then Mary will anoint him, and the very next day he will make his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and the hatred of his enemies will no longer be contained. At that moment, he says, "I came into this world as light, so that everyone who believes might not remain in darkness." My friends, Jesus has rolled back the stone. This world and our nature, contaminated by sin, have caused us to dwell in the darkness of a tomb. But the stone has been rolled back. Why do we not come out into the light? We're tied up and bound by our sins like Lazarus was, and unable to see, wrapped in the vesture of death that is sin. Come out, Jesus says. The God of the universe weeps for you, for your sins, out of the desire that you would believe that He has the power over sin and death. He weeps and cries, "Come out. Leave behind those things that bind you and cause you to dwell among the dead. The gluttony, the greed, unforgiveness, the rage, the lust, the selfishness, addiction, the pride. All of those things that bind us and blind us and leave us among the dead. Come out," Jesus says, "and be freed from your bonds." Jesus weeps. He knows that his hour has come. The very next one to see the inside of the tomb will be Jesus himself. And we know that from that tomb too a stone has been rolled back. Because death is not the dwelling for him, nor is it the dwelling for those who believe in him. And inside that tomb are found the burial cloths. Because he is not bound, and nor should we be. Come out. Repent and believe. Be freed by the power of Jesus, the victor over sin and death.